Tune in to the Family Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We've got to stop them. They're going to kill us all.
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
When the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Rest, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio! All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, thank you for being with me. This is Darren from the little apocalyptic one-to-one radio show. I'm filling in for Keith tonight. Thank you, Keith. I'm excited. I found a new content creator that I just think the world of. Guy named Jamie Walden, and I've been sharing him these last couple hours. I've been sharing his material, and it's so timely. It's so pertinent. It's so right now. It's absolutely invaluable, and it probably makes little sense to people who have no belief in spirituality, to the Pharisee, the heathen, the pragmatic that have no sense of that which is spiritual. I'd think it wouldn't make a lot of sense, but to those that do have a belief system that includes prophecy and the fulfillment of prophecy, this makes all the sense in the world, what I've been sharing with you this evening. I intend to continue with Jamie Walden for the entirety of the show with periodic commentary, but I'm not going to say a lot because Jamie is really laying it out there, and I love it. I just love it. It is Super Bowl Sunday, so if you're not watching that, if you're just here with me, well, I know you're a friend of mine. Thanks for being here. So let me click around on this here fancy computer thing. Whoops. There we go. All right, I'm going to get us to where I want to take us here. And I click this. Whoops. Oh, shucks. Wouldn't you know it? Okay, there we go. Okay, this is an interview that's hardly a week old. It's very fresh off the presses. the last couple hours. That interview dated back almost a year. It might have sounded like it could have been made yesterday, but that was almost a year old, that interview I just played. This interview is within the last week or so. So let me put it in place. Find my place. Right about in this neck of the woods. All right. Jamie Walden on YouTube. Whoops. Wouldn't you know it, I forgot to share the screen. So we're going to have to go through all those motions one more time. Please excuse me for stumbling around. I'm just so excited about this content. It's invaluable. It's absolutely invaluable. Okay. There we go. Pushing buttons. Share screen. Right there. There we go. All right. And thank you for bearing with me. I'm so sorry. Off we go.
Launch today. We've got, what 8.5 million people have come across the border since the Biden administration. Is that an accurate number?
Yeah. I mean, it's anywhere from 6 to 8.5 million, but the numbers are very loose. I know a lot of guys in Border Patrol, DHS, different other types of federal law enforcement that are down there operating on the border. Also guys that are former members from the teams and some Berets and some Rangers, a handful of Delta guys, a couple ex-intelligence operators too that are all down there. And their numbers are completely different than what the official numbers are being reported.
Their numbers are higher.
Oh, much higher. Much higher. Yeah.
It's got me upset because in the recent interview that I did, I found out that when the illegal aliens, which is politically incorrect, the migrants, when they're coming across, within 2 to 4 months, they're getting social security numbers and driver's license, and they're also getting their lodging covered. You know, in New York, they're in really nice hotels and everything. I have a point of view that this is, I mean, I know you can share, if you would, share me some of the points of views of your comrades. I know you're not going to share their names, of course, but especially since they're working it right now. But the amount of child trafficking is being allowed while they're bringing these people in, and they are giving them social security numbers to vote, basically. And we've got 64 million illegal immigrants within the country already, plus the 10 million or 8 million that's come in. What's the point of view on the border about what's going on? I mean, what does a typical person work in the front line that you know, what is their opinion of what's the current events of what's happening?
Unequivocally, it has nothing to do with immigration. In any way, shape, or form, there is zero amount of immigrating occurring. I can't say zero. There's always going to be a small percentage. People will take issue with making that broad of a generalized statement, but very, very few of it is immigration. It is 100% the totality of the evidence coming out from there is that it is a full-on multi-pronged, well-organized, nation-state-backed militaristic invasion with fifth column forces for staging for kinetic actions inside the continental United States in CONUS. There's 10,000 plus Chinese military age fighting men a day coming across the border and being allowed to come in. Chinese general bought up 200 square miles. A colonel, I believe, bought an active duty, bought 200 square miles of Texas ground right along the Rio Grande and put in a 10,000 foot heavy lift military aircraft landing strip on it. It's untouchable. I've talked to guys. I've had them at my house that are directly across adjacent on the Mexico side of the river of that property. And they run a nonprofit and medical clinic nonprofit. And they watch the Chinese troops be brought in by our State Department on buses and then wade across the knee deep to waist deep water right onto private property on the Texas side of the river where they're waiting from. We have all kinds of reports of shipping containers full of crew served weapons and direct fire weapons systems coming through the Long Beach port allowed to be brought in and pre-staged. We have armor brigades, high level reports of armor brigades staged in Vancouver Island up in the Columbia River Gorge. Just 2 weeks ago, I was in Minnesota where I spoke with a guy that talked about the enclaves of Russian troops pre-staged in the North Woods up there. Then they are protected actually by other U.S. assets where they do not allow anybody to go into these particular large swaths of remote forest. And actually the guy I talked to was specifically up there as a high-level electrical engineer, and he was brought in to put in some infrastructure, buildings and barracks and stuff like that for Russian troops, fully outfitted with everything inside the U.S. And so that doesn't include the Hamas Hezbollah contingents. There's been Chinese military training camps and Hamas Hezbollah, or we'll just say Middle Eastern extremist type terroristic fifth column forces training camps within 8 miles of the Texas border. Everybody knows about it. Nobody does anything about it. Venezuela is a staging ground right now for it has in the past hosted Russian White Swan strategic nuclear bombers and other assets. Also major Chinese military troop buildup there. And then we all know Trudeau to the north has made bilateral agreements and even passed legislation through the PM and all the other things going on up there in Canada to allow the Chinese military to come in with whatever brigades and armaments and troops necessary to, quote unquote, protect their national interest inside China. Now, that gets into what went on with Feinstein to Swalwell and all these other guys, all the interconnectivity, MIT, to numerous other Ivy League schools being connected to the CCP. Also the Clinton State Department selling all of our mineral rights in our national parks. Our mineral right, all the stuff under the ground was given as collateral to the CCP. They're going to come to collect. Manhattan Island itself is physically owned real estate wise by the CCP and the numerous other amounts of our deep water ports. This gets into why things are doing what they're doing inside the United States of America, including gun legislation, including Obama stopping the last lead smelting plant, and including the most recent congressional bill that was put forward to ban any form of training, any civilians from participating in any training or being involved in any training or be associated with any training of larger than 2 to 3 people. That legislation was already put forward in Congress just like a couple of days ago to basically make it a felony if anybody's caught training with any kind of firearms. And that also gets into the nuances of reducing our strategic reserves, our oil reserves, leaving all the armaments in Afghanistan, and then sending all of our other major anti-armor weapon systems, including the Javelin weapon systems and our self-propelled artillery pieces and the kind of these higher-end anti-armor based conventional warfare based equipment and shipping it all over to Ukraine and completely drawing down all of our things. That also gets into the whole basis, also gets into different aspects of asymmetric warfare, we'll say, including things that we all know that we experienced for the last 3 years. So things that occurred over the last 3 years, there's been numerous hot mic incidents with what would be the Chinese equivalent of the Department of Defense braggadociously speaking about the reality of what they were able to accomplish embedded with our U.S. unelected officials to accomplish what they accomplished, to the complete eroding of the U.S. infrastructure, strategic command, and the military. Now, add to that the reality of the most recent thing with the Chinese spy balloon, right? And being picked up 10 days prior, and yet stand down orders being given in all of our military to allow it to do its signals intelligence gathering over our strategic terrestrial based aspect of our nuclear triad in Montana and North Dakota. And it was not allowed to be shot down till the data was done being collected and then uploaded. And then for optics, it was shot down over the ocean where nobody could magically recover any aspects of it, you know.
I knew it.
Yeah,
I knew it.
So then that gets even more so into, if you remember, this has been a long-term strategic plan. It's actually falls under what's called the perestroika deception. I've gone into great detail on that on my own channel. But they,
Jamie, tell me your channel real quick, will you?
It's just Jamie Walden. Yeah, just Jamie Walden.
Okay. Yep. Just wanted to make sure they knew it. Go ahead.
Yeah. So that gets into, the radical overhaul and the firings under the Obama administration. We get this little low under Trump. Believe me, I'm by no means a Trumper in any way, shape, or form. He's a hardcore Kabbalist, occultist, mystery school adept. He's playing his part. He's playing his role. I know all the language he's using because I've studied that world ad nauseum. Anyway, side note, if we want to talk about that later, we can. And then now
you're blowing my mind already. I mean, you're blowing the audience's mind. What you're saying is like just shocking. Go ahead.
Yeah. So now it's picked back up under the Biden administration. So there's all this nuanced stuff that's going on all the time that people aren't aware of. There was a firing of the missileers at our strategic nuclear weapons facilities. And then there was an overhaul because of unbecoming behavior. You know, there's always some bogus term where basically they have systematically cleansed and purged the top tier guys who they know will not stand down when they're given the stand down orders. There is a well-documented hot mic incident that occurred, I don't know, don't quote me on this, probably about 8 months ago, but maybe it was as long as a year and a half ago. I can't compartmentalize all this information, where Wei Fang, which is the head of kind of the Department of Defense on the Chinese side, on a hot mic was bragging about the pre-staging of troops in the quote unquote shipping containers that are all off, are the industrial, commercial maritime shipping ships that were all off the coast. Nobody knew why they were sitting there forever and ever and ever. And he was bragging about and talking in detail about the brigades and the battalions and the regiments and how many troops and blah, 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 and who's doing what and which commanders are doing what and who's on what ship and doing what. And then he said off the cuff, because we've been assured stand down orders by Newsom and the U.S. government to the Rocky Mountains. So we're not worried about it. And so what's going on right now at the border? And there is amazing investigative journalists.
Before you go to the border, I mean, you just kind of blew my mind, okay, with just like an information download. I mean, on the subject of what you just said, which was a lot, are you saying they're planning like a military attack on America? I mean, it sounds like it's a planned military attack. I mean, why are the Chinese all buying land?
It's done. Yeah, no, it's a certainty.
It's a certainty?
Yes, it's a certainty. And it has to do with, you know, I always try to make the distinction between inevitability and imminency. So it is inevitable. The imminency is the one thing that has an ebb and flow to it, right? It's kind of like you're seeing through a glass dimly when you're looking at the imminency of it. Is it this year? Is it in 3 years? Because this hardcore push has been in play for about the last 12 years. In the pre-staging and even rotation of troops in CONUS, in the continental United States. This also gets into the Maui fires, and it's all interconnected, and most people don't understand. What happened? Maui is was home of DARPA, and also it is the, not Maui itself, but the entire Hawaiian island chain is our number one eyes and ears for all of our strategic missile systems and signals intelligence systems for the protection of the continental United States from the Pacific theater outward. Maui is central to all of it. And it was allowed to burn down, right? Just like the balloon was allowed to come in, like China was allowed to buy Long Beach Harbor so that they can do whatever they want within it. I believe it's changed hands now. And just like Biden just pulled out from the Panama Canal and China came in and took it over. So you have literally this full on concentric circles, this cordon and control that is systematically being allowed to occur, because not, it's not all of our elected, I use that word loosely, elected official, all of our central planners will say, it's not that all of our central planners are on the take, but the vast majority is. There's been money trails linked all the way down to county road commissioners and chiefs of police being pre-bought off by China. This gets into, and I know this is a buzzword that we can't say on particular platforms. Yeah, we'll just say what happened with counting things that matter, that depend on who gets a new election, right?
No, we
that
can talk about the election. All, we're allowed to talk about the election. That got released about 6 months ago. To talk about it and questioning.
Okay, so that is all part and partial to asymmetric hybrid warfare operations that you roll out prior to kinetic operations.
Right, let me interject. You're doing an information download that's just like, wow. And the audience is probably like, Will, shut up. But I got to ask this question. Are you saying that even if President Trump gets elected, this is going to continue?
Unequivocally.
Unequivocally.
Yeah. Yes.
So we can't stop it.
No, it's and the reason why that really will piss a lot of hardcore, you know, more patriotic Americans off.
Speak the truth,
because they think that it could never happen, which that arrogancy is actually what they count on when you read the white papers of the central planners for these other nation states. So they actually count on that hubristic kind of nature of like, it could never happen here. And actually, I come from a biblical worldview, and all that's laid out in the Bible as well too, with the destruction of Mystery Babylon and Revelation 18 and Jeremiah 15:51. Excuse me. Sorry. I shouldn't have been drinking a bubbly water while I'm on the air. I'm like,
no, you're doing good. Trust me.
Get a throw up all over my microphone.
That's kind of what we're going to talk about. You're blowing my mind right now.
Yeah. So I guess I'll just keep fire hosing you. Okay. Cause this gets into,
wet right now. Trust me. I'm getting soaked. Go ahead.
Yeah. So this gets into even the Jade Helm 1 and Jade Helm 2 drills that were conducted not too long ago, where, our special forces operators were training in our urban environments like Dallas and LA and elsewhere with no warning to the citizens for their official like, none of this is conspiratorial. This is like open. This is OSINT, open source intelligence. Anybody can go dig into it and read about it. But yeah. Their training objective was for dissident extractions, and they were fast roping on the roofs in downtown Dallas and in LA and one other major city I can't think at the time, and operating inside our continental United States for dissident extractions. Dissident extractions means prior service people with combat experiences in levels of leadership or alternative media personalities that have a pretty wide reach that would blow the lid off of this stuff. They're trained for that in CONUS under the directive of the Obama administration. Also under the Obama administration, we conducted GRID X1 and GRID X2 drills on the eastern seaboard, where Russia and Chinese cyber warrior contingents were brought in as liaisons for this drill exercise and taught how to take down the grid and create a cascade collapse of our power grid and then bring it back online selectively at the time of their choosing. Go and research it, listeners. They have been preparing for this at a level most people can't even fathom. And let me tell you the why, Will.
I'm listening. I don't have to.
Why has to do with this? It has nothing to do with national sovereignty. It has nothing to do with nation states. It's the complete opposite. It's out from a bigger level perspective of, you know, we hear about the dirtbags at Davos, right? World Economic Forum, League of 300, Club of Rome, Bilderberg, right? There's these different global conglomerates. And that's why our ruling elite, which we operate in an oligarchy, and we have a fascist government and an oligarchy-based government. We have not been a democratic republic for a very, very long time. A very long time we have not been a democratic republic. Anybody with any nuanced of geopolitical eyesight would know and understand that. But they are in agreement for what needs to happen in the continental United States, to achieve a bigger systemic restructuring economically, geopolitically, militaristically, even hyper spiritually on a global based basis. So there's these multiple prong things that are going on right now to create shared global traumatic experiences, unifying the whole globe with shared traumatic experiences. So I could go talk to a guy in Burma or Malaysia or the Philippines, or I could go to Sweden or Norway or Kosovo or Herzegovina, and we could immediately be connected because of what happened in the last 3 years, the thing that happened, and share stories of a collective shared traumatic experience that unifies us across all borders, even economically, the economic woes, the constraints, the supply chain constraints and the consolidations, and even the governmental overreach. All that is part and parcel of the plan, is to give you a shock factor of governmental overreach. So then when they offer you a new thing that looks like it's doing away with that old way of these power brokers, you will clamor for it. They don't have to force it on you. You will cry out for it. And so that's why even what's going on with Russia and Ukraine, what's going on with Israel and Hamas, what's going on with Iran, oh my goodness, we could get into that. What's going on in Central Africa with the Wagner Group and France and all these things and these populist uprisings everywhere, China getting ready to move on Taiwan. I mean, where do I stop? It's because they must have, the next step is a certainty. I'm saying this very bold, dogmatic statements, a certainty of World War III with a limited, very particular language, a limited nuclear exchange and a global economic, quote unquote, reset. This is why the infrastructure for central bank digital currencies and for passports linked to your biometric data are being rolled out all over the face of the earth. Every single country is doing the exact same thing at the exact same time because they know what comes next. It's agreed upon. There is backroom agreements. Not to say that there's unity, right? There's a house divided can never stand. It's not like there's fullness of unity, but there's agreements like, yes, this is what we will do next. Yes, we're all in agreement that this must occur. Yes, next. Yes. So the takedown and takeover of the United States of America is a byproduct of a much bigger agenda. And this is not conspiratorial. I mean, you can read white papers all day long about where they're taking us. They don't hide it. They're not cryptic about it. They make videos, high end production videos. They make shorts and reels about it. They do open source exercises where they actively talk about it all the time. And you can read anything from the Federal Reserve to, you know, international banking systems to, geopolitics, to geostrategy, to think tank based white papers that they pump out. That's why I say, having delved into that reality now for 15, 16 years, you know, I've been doing deep dives into that reality, that's why I say with dogmatism that it's a certainty. World War III is a certainty with a limited nuclear exchange, and the complete takedown of America from the inside out is a certainty. Certainty. So right now we're in the logistics phase, which most people that don't have a militaristic background don't understand, that 98% of all warfare is only logistics based. It's humans, human intelligence, it's signals intelligence, it's beans and bullets and band-aids, it's moving equipment, it's fuel and fuel reserves, it's shifting and mobilizing and activating and moving and pre-positioning and intelligence gathering and dissemination. And that is 98% of all warfare. By the time a round flies or something detonates or an artillery round hits or some kind of modernized missile system strikes, that's usually typically optics at that point. We're at the optics phase. The war started 6 years ago.
Wow.
It's open warfare. We are in World War III. I mean, I recently have listened to a couple different CIA analysts, and they say, we are in World War III. I don't know why America is the only
CIA
nation that won't wake up.
CIA analysts are saying this?
Yes. And every other nation.
Active CIA analysts.
Active CIA analysts. And every single nation is preparing their citizenry for World War III, except for the United States. Why? Because I already told you, they must reduce the U.S. The U.S. must, it can no longer be a unipolar world. because what they're doing, going to do next, the United States cannot have a strong sense of nationalism. It can't have a strong super economy over everybody else. It can't have the ability to project power tenfold beyond everybody else in the world. It can't have the stranglehold. And more than anything, it's about the posture and the national identity of American citizenry. The government's already sold out. The Joint Chiefs of Staff are. I mean, it's been a year and a half ago now. I was speaking with a guy who is actively in the Pentagon, actively works with the Joint Chiefs. And he said, beyond a shadow of a doubt, he said, every single one of the Joint Chiefs is owned by China.
Wow.
That's what he told me. And he said, so this thing is a done deal. Everything else is just optics. All the election fiasco, even what's going on with Texas. Do people understand that Governor Abbott is a World Economic Forum adept? He's playing a part. This is smoke and mirrors. It's Hegelian dialectic. And from Marxist perspective, which is who's really ruling the United States of America, it's actually called a Deceptive dialectic is what they operate off. The Greco-Roman world operates off of a Hegelian dialectic, but these guys operate off of what's called a deception or a deception-based dialectic, which was implemented by Marx and Lenin and all these guys on how you do these long-term strategic infiltrations. Notice who leads all academia, social, Marxist, communist. Notice who the Democratic Party is, Marxist, socialist, communist. Notice who the NEA is, which is one of the most powerful lobbies in all the United States of America, the National Education Association. It's the socialist, Marxist, communist. It's the same thing everywhere you look. The majority of governors, social Marxist communists, and it's in Hollywood and the media production, right? They CNN, the Communist News Network, everybody knows that NBC, ABC, they're all bought and paid for. This is it's the perestroika deception. People can go watch my video on that where I did a deep dive, the historical nature of through KGB and GRU defectors and these other defectors that have laid out ad nauseum exactly what they were going to do. They were talking about it in the 50s. They said, you'll see this, 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 this. And when you see this, it means that we're ready for a kinetic invasion. Guess what? Every single box has been checked. You think the LGBT movement happened in a vacuum? That is perestroika deception 101 implemented in 1952. Specifically, you think the takeover of academia is happening in a vacuum? It is not organic or natural. That is specifically a part of the perestroika deception implemented in 1952. The infiltration of the U.S. military through high levels all the way up to command base at command staff positions, done. Part of perestroika deception. Consolidation of media into a couple major conglomerates that are actually owned in the background by communist sympathizers, done. The war on terror, 1952, perestroika deception. They said that they would raise up the Arab nations, they would unify the Arab nations, and they would create a pseudo terroristic war, global war, that would overextend all the Western's resources, including attacks in the mainland of the United States of America using planes in major urban centers. 1952, perestroika deception.
Wow.
In fact, Atta, one of the chief planners of 9/11, was trained in Bosnia by the GRU, which is the military intelligence aspect of the what was the Russian KGB or USSR KGB. He was trained in Bosnia before he went back to Saudi Arabia and elsewhere and created these things. Every little detail of it has been to get to this point. And that's why this election cycle, this year, the chaos that's already being sown on the border, sown in D.C., sown on the left coast, whatever that place is out west, right? And everywhere in between is to get to that asymmetric hybrid warfare erosion, soft soft attack, softening of critical infrastructure, reductionism of our national identity, reductionism of our borders, fracturing of our ability to be unified by every race, gender, sex, you name it. That was all in the perestroika deception. That's what the defectors said that they would do, that they would raise up a new civil war. They would stoke the flames internally through their ownership of the media to create a second civil war. And when you see that happen, then you know that they're about ready to do a kinetic invasion, because America is strong. We always have been strong. And even geographically, we are about in the best position militaristically that you could think of geographically to do some kind of invasion, plus the landmass and the people and the gun rights and the national identity, our critical infrastructure, which is very robust compared to a lot of other nations in the world, that they knew the only way to beat America was from the inside out. You could never come at them force on force. That would be a fool's errand. You had to erode everything over 2 to 3 generations from the inside out, and then you could walk in. Then you could just walk in when it's time.
Jamie, the sad thing is I believe you, and I think that because of your contacts, you're definitely telling the truth, which is like saying we're about to go to World War III is pretty shocking, especially with your connections and who you know. Do you there's some people that are theorizing that there won't be an election. Do you think the election will actually happen in November?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's just as valid of a speculation as anything else. And by the way, let me make this caveat. There is nothing wrong with speculating, listeners. Listen, that's intelligence gathering and dissemination 101. It's called informed speculation. I always say, yeah, it's speculation, but it's informed speculation. I mean, we won't know till after the fact the exact detailed nuances of how they're going to carry it out. And I always say they don't operate off of plan A, B, and C like most people do, right? We have a primary, secondary, and tertiary plans. They have plan A through Z and the Chinese alphabet included. They have so many avenues, and a lot of it now most people don't realize is the central planning and decision making is being driven by AI algorithms and quantum computing, D-wave quantum computers, where nowadays it's pulling in so much metadata, social media, every text, every message, every voice saying all your smart TVs and smart microwaves and smart fridge. It is actually, there's 7 threat fusion centers across the U.S. and they literally do have the capability to pull in all that data, and AI sifts it and it paints a picture and it actually pumps out decision making given what's going on out in cyberspace, whatever you want to call it, just in the normal, you know, mom and pop Joe Schmo household. It can compile all this data and actually give very detailed instructions on what to say next, what to do next in order to get the right optics or get the right public opinion or sway things this way or that way. So most people don't realize that we kind of live in a de facto technocracy now, where decision making isn't being made by the boobs in DC any longer. It's actually being made by humanly designed algorithms that now to some degree have an operating system that's somewhat sentient. That should cause everybody to freak out. Like, that is actually more dangerous than the Chinese troops coming across the border. That's a higher level of asymmetric warfare that none of us even have a paradigm for. We don't have a paradigm for it, and we have no skin in the game because there's really nothing that you can do against that level of technological superiority and dominance in the battle space, or even in the psychological space in between your ears, that's being exacted on us every day. It's pretty significant.
Everything you said is significant. I mean, everything. I mean, you just laid out World War III being, you know, it's coming.
And it's a certainty. Yeah,
it's a certainty. I got that, which is, you know, pretty big news. You know, I think I got the title for this video. But is no hope? There's nothing we can do except wait for it to happen. I mean, how can we possibly stop this? I mean, let me ask a question. Is the Biden administration is compliant with this plan? Is that why they're allowing everybody to come across the border? Is they obviously allowing it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
We know they're allowing it. We know. I thought it was just for votes. It's just to destabilize our country, actually, right?
Yeah, no, it's way, and then that's the thing is that And they count on our myopic nature, right? They count on kind of our soundbite reality to think it's about the Democrats being able to pad the deck, or they're going to offer amnesty, or they're going to get them voting rights. There are other even secondary things that have a little bit more weight to me than just, you know, the election stuff, which they're talking about, and they're actively working towards some form of draft/conscription. And so there are rumblings within DOD and other type of intelligence communities that another reason for the total letdown of the borders is because they have systematically reduced the military, that they are going to offer up citizenship for conscription because they can't recruit anybody to still fight in World War III. And by the way, when I say fight in World War III, it's not because it's not the World War II mentality of, you know, rah-rah American, you know, high moralistic standard of why we do things. That has been shot since the 50s. Really, coming into 1947, 48, all of that was already being eroded instantly after World War II. That gets into Operation Paperclip and the U.S. intelligence apparatus bringing in all the Nazis and the Nazi scientists and allowing them to keep doing what they were doing. Most of our pharmaceutical companies are actually offshoots of IG Farben, which the Nazis perfected on the concentration camps, right? Yeah. NASA, JPL, Jet Propulsion Laboratory, that was all created by the Nazi scientists that we brought in. And actually, the tube for TVs, which is where we get the word programming, the TV programming was developed by Nazi scientists for mass mind control of the German people, because they did, whether people realize it or not, less than 3% of the German population were in support of the Nazi Party. Just like less than 3% of our population are supporters of these freaking reprobates and the Democrats and the liberals. Less than 3% support that, but it's about programming and actually.
And it's indoctrination of our children, just like they did with the Hitler Youth.
Yep, which is programming, right? So, I can't remember where I was going with that.
Oh, sorry. But I hope I didn't distract you.
World War III. There you go. World War III. the election stuff. So, there's speculation that we won't have an election, you know, and that's why the most important thing that people can do is not be unhinged. Let everybody else be unhinged, right? Let the social media let the social media narcissistic trolls do what they're going to do, and the QAnon deep state fake intelligence apparatus deceive whoever they want to deceive. Let them do what they're going to do. But for the listeners that are going to listen to this, is they need to be steadfast and have a resolute steadfast and resiliency in their emotion and in their physicality, and also spiritually in Christ Jesus, the Lord and Savior, who gives you a sound mind to be able to endure all these things because of what is going to come next. Whether or not they allow us to have election or not, that's all secondary, because here's what we do know for certainty. There is no election. Everybody tracking? There hasn't been for several processes. There has not been an authentic Democratic, Republic-based, populist-based election for a very long time. It's just now the people, the general public, are catching up to that reality.
Wow.
So it's actually not new. It's not new. You can go back to the days of Taft and Wilson and elsewhere, and even right after Washington, you can go all the way back to the founding fathers. This thing has been chugging along with this same tempo the whole time. It's just right now it's reaching a crescendo because they're getting ready to pivot. Everything is getting ready to pivot from what we have known and understood for about the last 80 to 120 years is all going to be flipped overnight. And that's been the plan for a long time.
Oh, man. Well, no, you know, I got to be 59 when this happens. My kids have to be like 17, 18, 20. That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Great timing.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yep. And see, that's where a lot of people get hung up is they go, well, how is this going to impact my bottom line? My bottom line is I have a wedding. I want to see my kids graduate. I want to whatever. I have these plans. I'm getting close to retirement. I'm getting whatever. And so that is called comfort bias. It's beyond normalcy bias, where most of your listeners are probably familiar with normalcy bias. But a higher level of bias is actually comfort bias. And what comfort bias does, this is all psychology 101, right? But it doesn't allow you to adapt to the changing reality that's going on around you. You're incapable of adapting to it because of the high level of disenchantment and disillusionment with what you thought was rightfully yours, which it was never right. It was a privilege. And so you can't shift and actually adapt. And what I remember, it's been some years now. It's probably been 8 years ago. I remember reading some papers coming out of DHS and FEMA where they were, doing exercises on if there was a grid down scenario, right? Limited, very limited grid down scenario, 6 weeks. That was kind of the exercise that they were working out in this six weeks window, whether it's an EMP, solar flare, or, bad actors, state sponsored, or, the lone cyber warrior guy out there doing it. And they said, this was their findings, that they anticipated 20 to 60 million dead in the first 6 weeks just by suicide.
What?
Just by suicide. That's how big a deal comfort bias
is. In our country or in the world?
No, just in the United States of America. Just in the U.S.
Wow, this is like end time stuff.
It isn't. It's only end time stuff. Like I said, it's because only biblical worldview.
We're going to die by fire, right? That's the word of God.
Well, I mean, I don't want to open a can of worms because I know we've already been talking for over an hour. But the reason why all this
more with cams, you're blowing my mind.
Okay, I'll open it up for you. The reason why all of this central planning and restructuring and central bank digital currencies and passports, this and digital ID biometric and the letting down of borders and the restructuring of governments and everything. The reason for the rampant spitting and the certainty of World War III is because of an asteroid that they locked onto in the late 80s. It's been named Apophis by the space agencies and
the strategic. What's crazy is
I stumbled into that reality about 10 years ago, and I kid you not, last week it was CNN, MSN, blah, 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 name all the big conglomerates, all had articles about the asteroid Apophis getting ready to come towards the Earth and how the central planners are. So this gets into, the seed bolt that has like billions of heirloom seeds. They shut and sealed the doors on it not that long ago. It's a survival seed bolt. This gets into Zuckerberg and all these guys building bunkers. And this gets into the governments of the world partnering overnight with the private sector, like Elon Musk and SpaceX, to figure out space-based technologies, off-Earth living, off-Earth colonies, and also deep underground military base construction through advanced technology. This is why the depopulation, which is a thing that happened the last 3 years ago, this is why the consolidation of economies, consolidation of supply chains, and the consolidation of media and media outlets. This is why the cancel culture, because this thing is going to be visible in the sky somewhere in late 2025, and it has a flyby date of October 13, 2029.
Well, flyby is good, expect, right? It's not going to hit us. It's going to fly by.
No, it's not going to hit us, but it is the effects of the debris trail, which will have one third of the Earth getting, it'll be like one third of the Earth on its rotational axis, passing through the debris trail, getting shot by birdshot. It brings with it crustal plate displacement, hardcore volcanism. Notice all the earth changes going on. They are using, and I can't say this word, the the stuff about the environment, they're using that as a cover because it's all actually effects secondary to the effects on our magnetosphere because of the space body coming in. It's altering the jet streams. It's altering our magnetosphere. It's altering our we have this Pineapple Express going on in California right now. You have heavy droughts in one area, too much rain in another area, crop destruction in other areas. You have them building underground like crazy. They're trying to get off Earth like crazy. They need to depopulate as quickly as possible, and they're consolidating everything all at the same time. So actually, all this is a can of worms. I told you be careful what you open. The big picture of the why is astrocatastrophism by this asteroid Apophis, or what the Bible describes as wormwood, a great mountain of fire cast down to the sea. And as the word specifically states, is that one third of the Earth. That's the same language the Planetary Defense Initiative is saying. There's a reason why Ronald Reagan initiated Star Wars, and then why Donald Trump doubled down on Space Force. There's a reason why there's a mad dash to bring in the private sector to mine asteroids. Ever seen the movie Armageddon? Ever seen that new reprobate movie Don't Look Up that just came out on Netflix? Yeah. How about Greenland with Gerard Butler? How about Deep Impact, right? They have been telling you what they locked onto in the 80s. So this gets back into Ronald Reagan's address to the UN General Assembly in 1987. And this was when all the global elite were like, oh, crap, here we go. And he said, I often wonder how much all of our differences would go away if we as humanity faced collectively an existential alien threat from outer space.
Okay.
Locked onto this thing. It's time to get busy.
Let me summarize. I'm going to summarize. World War III is coming. There's an asteroid that's going to hit us, possibly, or go by us really close, and we're going to get nailed with a whole bunch of like debris, like in 2025.
2025 is when they expect it to be visible to some degree in the sky, and that's why if you notice the Deagle Report, World Economic Forum, the Great Reset, Polycrisis, Cyber Polygon, all these different exercises that they're doing, they all have the date 2025. 2025, if you pay attention, that's the date you're hearing all the time. There's a reason why they pick that year. It has nothing to do with U.S. politics. It has to do with a far greater agenda. That's why all these lower level things are occurring that people aren't connecting the dots. They plan on that. It's called the Cloward and Piven strategy. It's actually a strategy coined by two psychologists from Stanford on how to kind of overwhelm your mentation, your ability to compartmentalize and connect dots so that you never actually get the bigger picture. I'm here constantly beating the drum of the macro, of the big picture, of the why. Why the depopulation? Why the spending? Why the money? Why the technology push? Why the consolidating? Why the mass media conglomerations, right? And these things all coming together. Why? It's because everybody knows what's going on. And I said everybody. Everybody knows what's going on. That's all the central planners of the Earth are no. And that's why they run simulations with the European Space Agency, our space agencies, Jet Propulsion Laboratory, FEMA DHS, and our counterparts in Europe and elsewhere. That's why Russia ran a drill probably 2 years ago now, don't quote me on that, where they put 40 million citizens underground in an emergency drill. Can you fathom that? 40 no. million citizens?
I don't know how I missed that news.
And they did it. They actually did it.
How did they cover that up? That hasn't been covered that I know of.
No, it was mainstream. Just nobody cares. And they count. They literally count on nobody giving a crap. I told you CNN, MSN, all these guys just pumped out articles, even Forbes magazine about Apophis. Nobody cares. They care about freaking reprobate Taylor Swift going to football games.
Right.
Who gives a crap?
Right.
Seriously. You know, So that's why they know that they have no inhibitions and no fear about putting it out there widespread. You know, you have this, they use this ARC language all the time. Noah, hello, Yuval Harari. Nothing happens in a vacuum is actively talking about an ARC. The transhumanism movement and the altering of our genome, genotypically and phenotypically, is because they know that what's coming is going to alter the radiation because of the thinning of the magnetosphere secondary to the thing. So even mRNA coming in and doing stuff, it's all connected. Mm-hmm. It's all connected.
Now, when you talk about lower level, you're talking about Joint Chiefs of Staff, right? That's your lower level people.
That is, those are the lower level guys. Yeah, they really are, because
Joint Chiefs of Staff, you know.
Most people aren't read in. Like, I know guys that are that currently work in different space agencies. I know guys that work in Space Force. I know guys that work in the private sector as high-end, you know, project managers for different, aeronautic space vehicles and stuff like that. They don't know. They're not read into it. So, but yet it's all open source. And it's not that they're not read into it. It's like, if you wanted to, you could read everything that's going on. I mean, you can read the simulation that they ran in 2018, at the end of 2018 in New York, about what the effects of an asteroid striking of being peppered by smaller asteroids. There you go. The birdshot off the eastern seaboard, and they had a central planning exercise with all the Planetary Defense Initiative people right before Trump initiated Space Force. And guess what their findings were, Will? I kid you not. This was their findings from their exercise. It was a five-day exercise. They had all the normal earth sciences things that they would expect, right? And the shifting of the hydro conveyor of the ocean, which alters the jet streams, which shifts weather patterns, which creates widespread famines, which then breeds pestilence, and then earthquakes, and what that would do to critical infrastructure, how many nuclear power plants would cook off, what that would do to the water tables and the aquifers, right? That's the normal stuff that they dealt with. But here's what the singularity of their focus was with regards to their findings. They said that the number one, they realized that the number one threat was not the effects of the asteroid. We could take it, we could absorb it, and we could rebuild, as catastrophic as it would be. But they said what we couldn't recover from was the human chaos factor. Yeah. That was their findings. I'm not saying that. That's what they said. They said the human chaos factor was more significant than anything that asteroid could do. What we would do to the infrastructure, what we would do to the roads and the bridges, how we would destroy everything and tear each other down, how they couldn't do any central planning. They couldn't have any emergency response because of the panic of the people, because of the information that was allowed to get out. So guess what their findings were? 2018. Think about this, moving into cancel culture, moving into the thing that happened in the last 3 years, all of that, and now World War III. They said the only way that they could, that we could overcome this asteroid in this simulation, quote unquote simulation, was if they consolidated all forms of media globally, if they consolidated all forms of supply and supply chains globally, if they had a means by which to shut down limited aspects of alternative media in a sluice and of truth tellers out there. How do you cancel them? And then the other one of the other ones I'm just remembering off the top of my head without notes in front of me, was that they needed to figure out a way to reduce the global population as quickly as possible, because the amount of people currently cannot be managed. Enter the thing and World War III.
We've got what? We got 6-7 billion people on the earth right now?
I think it's upwards of 8.4 to 8.7. Yeah.
We're 7 babies. Oh, boy. Well, I thought we were going to talk about firefighting.
Natural law. You enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Riffs by Ben Franklin. Welcome to the Crypt. Mountain High Time, 2 hours of an organization to the madness, discussing the ever-changing dynamics of being both physically and mentally prepared for a plethora of possible outcomes to our future and present. A look into the latest technologies, new scientific discoveries, and how they might be used in connection to the human domain and controlling it, ancient cultures and places. Be warned. This is an opinionated look through headlines. Guests that are not afraid to question the narrative. A little bit of crazy ramblings of a stoner conspiracy factist that pushes constitutional concepts. The place and the time are the same, another dimension we call Mountain High Time. Saturdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Mountain High Time. Right here on Revolution.radio, where information never sleeps and truth breaks the spell.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern. On Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, thank you for listening to Revolution Radio. I'm your host tonight, Darren. I call the little show Apocalyptic One-to-One. I'm filling in for Keith tonight. Thank you, Keith, for letting me have your time. I appreciate that. Revolution Radio is wholly listener-supported. If you find value in what we bring and you'd like to see it continue, please consider helping us go forward with your donation. There's a donate button on our homepage at revolution.radio. And thank you. So can you see why I'm excited about this guy, this speaker, this featured speaker this evening, Jamie Walden? You can find him on YouTube. They spell his name J-A-M-I-E-W-A-L-D-E-N, Jamie Walden. He's on YouTube. is just outstanding. Just a gold mine from my perspective. And he's got a biblically based point of view, a biblically based worldview. And I don't know how you can garner the necessary appreciation for what he's saying without that biblical, prophetic-based worldview. Because that's from whence he speaks. He believes in prophecy. He believes in his Bible, as do I. So I find him highly relatable. I do. And I'm excited to share his material this fine day, this Super Bowl Sunday, February 11th, 2024. So I'm going to jump to a different. To a different video, and I'm going to have to push some buttons. So please bear with me whilst I do my button pushing. But I do try to find material throughout the week to share on the little show. And this particular speaker that I'm sharing today, I was completely unfamiliar with him. I didn't know anything about him. And I just think of it as a gold mine. I'm just so happy that I came across this guy. So now I'm going to take you to a more Bible-focused type presentation he gave on this particular video. And 1, 2, 3, 4. There we go.
I say faith havens because I know that the Lord is going to provide for his people in a time of great perplexity and suffering coming upon this nation. I mean, we're assured it. We're promised it. You and I were talking off air. I'm utterly convinced. I'm always willing to be proved wrong, but I'm utterly convinced that America is Mystery Babylon. And as we can see the handwriting on the wall, devoid of the Neo-Babylonian blindness, where we're sitting there drinking out of the golden vessels of the Lord while the Assyrians are literally beating down the gates of our city. We're in a reality right now that's burgeoning on the scene that could very well be the prophetic fulfillment of Jeremiah 50 and 51 and Revelation 18 and elsewhere about the fall of the nation whose foundations are the bloodshed of the innocent, which is truly the United States of America and everything that we've done globally. So, yeah, we've been out here working like crazy. Just as donations come in, as the Lord provides, we're building out this place. We have a lodge and several cabins on this property. We'll be hosting different Christian encouragement and training events, and spiritual leadership. And actually what our focus on is building in resiliency and families for the days ahead so that they can continue to carry the gospel unabated, so that they're not easily shaken, so their hearts are steadfast and secure in the Lord Almighty, so that they are adequately, properly prepared physically, mentally, and emotionally to advance the gospel through the fog of war. Because we're assured that there was going to come a time the likes of which never has been and never will be again. But it says that those who are wise in the Lord will turn many back to righteousness, Daniel 12. We're also in Daniel 11 that those who know their God will be strong and go forth and do exploits. We're told that the Lord will provide for his people for a time, times, and half a time in the wilderness. We're assured of all these different things. So like you said in your intro, man, the mission set goes on unabated, like honor, courage, and commitment, devotion to duty to the end and whatever our end is. And we ought to be like the Apostle Paul, who too proclaims like, Lord, let me take hold of that for which you take hold of me. And God, let me not be unwise, but wise, discerning the time for the days are evil, redeeming the time for the days are evil. And like there is a mission set in this generation to turn many back to righteousness. I say all the time, one of the most often overlooked verses, you know, talking about as it was in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of Son of Man. That has all the different layers to it, right? From the cultural to the physical to the spiritual to the transhumanism to the genetic corruption of the human race and all these different things. But here's one unique aspect about the days of Noah that very few tend to touch on, is that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And it's interesting that it says, in the time of the end, those who are wise in the Lord will turn many back to righteousness, and they'll shine like bright shining stars in the vast expanse of the universe from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. So yeah, man, we're just out here working like crazy, doing what we can. You know, we took over this camp in Colorado, outside Durango, Colorado, not knowing what to expect. It's in fairly subpar conditions. I can't think of the right adjective. I mean, it's a huge blessing. Don't get me wrong. I don't ever want to diminish that. It just needs a lot of TLC. So, you know, I have a background from all the other random jobs, but I've been a home builder, and the other family that's out here ministering with us, he's a general contractor from Florida, and also worked in counter human sex trafficking and sex trafficking victim rehabilitation in the Dominican Republic. That's where we actually met, was in the mission field down there in the DR. And so they're out here as well, too. And we're just working like crazy as the Lord provides. And the Lord has told me, my people are coming. Prepare the land if my people are coming. And it's like, I don't know what that means. We'll just keep working. So.
Amen. Well, praise God for that, bro. That's exciting. And folks, you know, he was right.
So I'm going to skip around a little bit. I want to hear Jamie talk. He's being interviewed by a guy, a decent guy. But I like what Jamie's got to say, and I don't want to focus too much on anything else, because he really throws it down with some authority. So here's some more of Jamie.
It's the daughter of Babylon. It's an offshoot of Babylon. It has all the spiritual tensions of the original Babylon, but it is a prodigy. It's an offspring of Babylon, with this mystery Babylon that rises up. And just like in ancient Babylon, what we have now too, in America in particular, in America in general, but in the Western centric Christianity in particular, is a Neo-Babylonian blindness. This is why the scripture says, woe to the complacent. Woe to you who lounge on your couches in luxury. Woe. How about woe to the Laodicean church who says you're wealthy and in need of nothing, but you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. And it's the only church age that the Lord is on the outside of the church trying to get back into it. And all this speaks to the spirit of this particular age, of this particular nation. Some of the other attributes of this mystery of Babylon that must be noted is that it goes into great detail about who the mysterious Babylon is. And it's the center of culture. It's the center of entertainment. It's the center of the COMEX, the precious metals exchange. This is all of this is New York. Think Broadway, think Hollywood, think precious metals exchange, think Wall Street. It's the center of mercantilism, where the majority of all trade exchanges, currency exchanges occur. Again, that's New York City. It goes on and on and on through all these attributes. Here's one of the most, and it is. And it has made the whole world drunk with its pharmakia, with its sorceries, with its pharmaceuticals. The United States of America consumes 90% of all pharmaceuticals in the world. The United States of America single-handedly, through the pandemic, polluted the whole world with their pharmakia. The whole world in a matter of 3 months. They made almost every individual on the face of the earth take their sorceries into their bodies with mRNA, messenger, which another word for messenger is angel, ribonucleic acid, into their bodies to alter their very genetic makeup, to make them in some degree an affront to the Lord, or at least to bring on a greater curse of sin and death in their physical bodies. This is all being done. And here's the last attribute of Mystery Babylon that the American Christian must understand, is that they trafficked in the souls of men. That is not the Vatican. That is not Russia. That is not a revived Holy Roman Empire. That is not a revived Ottoman Empire. That is not a revived ancient Babylon in Al-Hila, Iraq, which I've personally been to the Ishtar Gates and seen the stones with Nebuchadnezzar's name etched on them. I've been there. I've been in the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, the restored Hanging Gardens of Babylon, one of the seven wonders of the world. That's not what it is. America's chief exports, number one, number two, and number three, is child sex trafficking. Number one. Number two, pornography, primarily centered around children. And number three, pharmaceuticals. One, two, and three primary exports. The whole Ukraine crisis, well, not the whole, the significant amount of the Ukrainian quote-unquote crisis is centered on the fact that it is the United States of America with Great Britain. It is the hub of all child sex trafficking in the world. From America through Ukraine. That's what the Hunter Biden laptop is a part of. That's what the Burisma thing is a part of. That's what all the payouts and all the money laundering comes through there. This is why Zelensky is doing what he's doing. He is a puppet proxy of the United States of America. It is the number one. It is the hub from which all the spokes go out for the global child sex trafficking is Ukraine. If that gives context for people for what's actually going on over there and why it's going on. So this concept is an unbelievably big deal to know and understand because, like the scripture says, Brother Frank, in a single day, in a single hour, in a single day, in a single hour. And what it presupposes, as it does elsewhere throughout scriptures with regards to the fall of Babylon, is that there is a degree of normalcy and then there's not. Just like in the original Babylon, they were eating and drinking and in hubris thought, I'll never be a widow. I'll never see shame. Where is this God of judgment? All the prophets are just wind and all their words come to nothing as they drink out of the golden vessels. And I've done the research on this because I'm a logistics guy, you know, from Marine Corps infantry is how would they not have known that they were coming down again? How could they have not have known? So I did the research and it says that there were about the potential estimates are 600,000 troops with their logistics trains and everything combined moving across open territory for 2 years to get to fulfill that prophetic word that night when they saw the handwriting on a wall. And you're telling me nobody saw it coming? But listen, it's true nobody saw it coming because that's what's been going on in America. There's Chinese troops to the south of us. There's Russian bombers in Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Cuba. There's Chinese armor brigades on Vancouver Island just waiting to come up the Columbia River Gorge. There is it's been outed with political official after political official. Their Chinese ties, their Chinese payoffs. The head of MIT is paid off by China. The head of Harvard's paid off by China. The whole Wuhan land, everything. China. Whenever you hear China, hear Russia. Whenever you hear Russia, hear China. It's a done deal, ladies and gents. And it will be business as usual until in a single day and a single hour because their cup of iniquity is overflowed. We drink it to the dregs and then we shake our fists in the face of God and say, give me more, God. That's the spirit of America. It is going to happen because the Lord has assured us it's going to happen. And what we see right now, anybody with ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches is listen to what is being said globally and watch what's happening. The stage is being set on purpose from our elected officials inside America for the systematic demolition of everything that you've ever known to be normal. And it's going to happen instantly. The whole Russia thing is just to build up plausible deniability to completely implode the global economy, in particular America. To have false flag nuclear strikes or biological attacks or cyber warfare attacks in order to consolidate power one more time. And from their language, the final time into a one world government with a one world currency backed by blockchain technology and cryptocurrencies. That's where all this is going. And they do not hide it. They've been telling you about the Great Reset for a long time. They've been telling you about the systematic destruction of America. They've been telling you that the Russians are coming, the Russians are coming, the Russians are coming. The Russians are just playing their part on the big stage of globalist theatrics. So, that's just a synopsis, not even getting into the details.
I agree. And folks, these
interesting, isn't it? Interesting stuff. Do I believe it? You know, I actually do. I actually believe this. I actually think it's absolutely on target. I really do. Here's some more of Jamie talking.
Walk contrary to it, brother.
Thing like it's the adage of to whom much is given, much is required, and you're absolutely right. There's never been a more judged nation in the history of humanity from the onset of the garden than the nation of Israel. And then there's never been, so this is a sec, there's always a type and shadow, right? There's never been a nation in the church dispensation and the New Testament age of grace that has been so supernaturally afforded the blessings of God because it was a haven for the authentic gospel to be proclaimed boldly than the United States of America. So again, to whom much is given, much is required. So just like Israel that intermarried and mingled the holy race with all the nations around them, and woe to those who went down to Egypt and made an alliance, but not by my will, and who ran after the idols of all the other nations, so too the United States of America has done the same thing. But what's even more horrific is I've done a comparative study, right? I have a degree in history and stuff like that. Comparative study. They say at the, like, the statistics of the height of Israel's wickedness, what they were doing to the giving of their children to Moloch and the pouring out the blood of their children. They say the United States of America has exceeded the wickedness of Israel and Phoenicia and Egypt and Babylon and Assyria and Sidonia and all these other ancient cultures, that we have exceeded it times 1,000 when you do the comparative studies of the numbers.
Amen.
And we think God's not going to respond because we have churches in our country. Well, the reason why God is going to respond so harshly is because we have churches in our country, because we have access freely to the Word of God, because we can proclaim righteousness and truth in the streets all day long and at our Capitol buildings and in our school board meetings and everywhere. And we choose not to out of cowardice. So notice who the first people are that God cast into the lake of fire when it's all said and done. It's the cowards, the cowards. The Lord has a very, very unique, just judgment for cowardice people. It's very near and dear to his heart. Let me give this quick rundown, Deuteronomy 28, of the curses that come against a nation. This is talking to Israel, but it's any nation who rejects the word of the Lord. So I'll give you a quick rundown. See if any of this relates to the United States of America. They'll be filled with confusion. At the rebuke, everything in their hands will be rebuked. Suddenly they will be ruined in an instant. Plague and disease will overcome them. Wasting disease, fever, inflammation, scorching heat, drought, blight and mildew will overtake their crops. So they'll have great food scarcity. They will be defeated before their enemies. They will become a whore to all the kingdoms of the earth. They will suffer the boils of Egypt. They will be afflicted with madness, like insanity, like girls or boys. They'll be afflicted with madness, blindness, confusion of mind. They'll grope around like a blind man in the dark. They will be unsuccessful in everything you do. They will build their houses but not live in it. Enemies from a distant land whose own God is their strength will come and take you over. All your allies will conspire against you and turn against you while you are unaware. Swarms of locusts will overcome you. You'll plant much in the fields, but nothing will come out of the fields. And it says, because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly in the time of prosperity, therefore, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in dire poverty, you will serve the enemies the Lord sends against you. He will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from far away, from the ends of the earth, like an eagle swooping down, a nation whose language you will not understand, a fierce-looking nation without respect for the old or pity for the young. They will lay siege to all your cities throughout your land until all the high fortified walls in which you trust, economics, will fall down. They will besiege all the cities throughout the land the Lord your God is giving you. And it goes on and on and on from there. We're specifically told in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Lamentations and Ezekiel and Obadiah that all those who were once considered your lovers or allies, is translated lovers or allies depending on your translation, that you have given yourself over to, are conspiring to overthrow you in a single day. And it's funny because it's not funny, but I just read an article today how Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Brazil, and I can't remember who else will not take any phone calls from the United States of America from the presidential office, our allies. I read where our France and Germany had a backroom meeting with Putin because they're all pivoting towards Russia. Putin just had a meeting with the Israeli Knesset, our parliament or whatever the ruling party is in Israel, like 3 days ago. They're all conspiring for the takedown of the U.S. dollar and our hegemony in order to. And this is, and our elected officials are in on this, by the way. This is not, we're not like victims. This is all planned to bring about a restructuring of the entire globe and a consolidation of a globalized government and a centralized currency. And it's going down in real time, ladies and gents.
It is going down in real time.
Interesting. Interesting stuff. All right, I'm going to jump to another segment where Jamie talks. Nothing against the other guy. I'm just not that interested in what that other guy has to say. It's what Jamie's got to say that I'm particularly interested in.
I want to be there when the Bible talks about men's hearts will be failing them from just the fear of what's coming upon the earth. You don't want to be alive.
You know
that
what, Brother Frank? Like what I didn't even cover there in Deuteronomy 28 is, and this is the global food scarcity crisis. This is the black horse riding. This is a day's wages for a loaf of bread. That's a global hyperinflationary economy. And what comes after a global hyperinflationary economy and all these rises is the inability to produce food because the cost to produce it is too much. And Russia cut off all exports of fertilizer, which 5 million people on the face of the earth require Russian fertilizer to grow food. Ukraine and Russia represent 30% of the world's global wheat exports. They are not putting wheat in the ground this year. This is all perfectly designed to create mass famine. When you have famine, you always have plagues. And when you have famine and plagues, you always have pestilence. And then when you have famine, plagues, and pestilence, you always have wars crossing boundaries. And when you have all that, then you have global hyperinflationary thing. So you literally see how the Christ, whenever his time is to break the seals, they're not these isolated compartmentalized incidents. They're all simultaneously, ladies and gents, they're all going on simultaneously at the same time. But here's what it says in Deuteronomy 28, is it speaks to the fact that that nation coming against you because of your wickedness and because the cup of your iniquity is so overflowing that you will cannibalize your children in sheer desperation. It talks over and over and over again about the judgment on Israel and the fact that it is so horrible when God does business with you that the women covet the afterbirth of their child in secret and the husband eats of the flesh of his wife's womb in secret and they're hiding their children as they're eating them from one another because it is that terrible. It says men will want to gouge out their eyes for fear of what they're looking at. It says that they're anxious in their eyes and they're anxious in their minds and their eyes are weary and their hearts fail them for fear of what they see coming on the earth. And yet we have the mass majority of American Christians that think they can sit around and drink out of the golden vessels of God and mock him and test him, saying, I'll never be a widow. I'll never see harm. I am the Lord's elect and chosen. Nothing will come near my tent. And it's a total lie. The message of the day is the same as it's always been. Repent, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It's consecrate yourselves today, for you've been made liable on the field of destruction. You will fall before your enemies unless you remove the devoted things from among your camp. In Joshua 7, it's repent, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Repent, for the day of the Lord is at hand. First, the message of John the Baptist, repent, for the day of the Lord is at hand. The message of Christ after the dove of the Holy Spirit befalls him, repent, for the day of the Lord is at hand. The first message preached after the outpouring of the Spirit at Pentecost, with many other words, Peter warned them, saying, repent, for the day of the Lord is at hand. And many were added to their numbers that day. The message is never change. It's fix your eyes on Christ Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. May he open your eyes so that you can see your nakedness, because he's counseled you to come and buy from him white raiments to cover your nakedness, to cover your shame. He said, buy from me gold that's been purified. Quit running after your 401ks and your Babylonian money magic systems, building your own houses and living in your paneled houses while the house of the Lord lies in ruins. I mean, listen to the word of the Lord, ladies and gents, from Genesis to Revelation. To his people, he's like, come out from among them, touch no unclean thing, lest, listen, for the people of God, just like for Israel, same for the church, lest you partake in a double portion of her plagues. We get a double portion because of complacency. We get a double portion of the justice of God, because to whom much is given, much is required. We get a double portion because he said, if you sow according to the flesh, you will reap destruction. You knew better. You had my spirit. You had my word. You had my truth. You had my freedom. You had no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, surely you will die. But if by the power of the Holy Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. And you deliberately, 2 Peter 2 or 3, I can't remember, it says, but you deliberately forgot. You willfully chose ignorance as bliss. You wanted the bliss translates as intoxication or enchantments. You chose to be intoxicated and enchanted with the things of the world. They deliberately choose to refuse to believe that the same God who judged the earth with the deluge is coming again to judge it by fire. It's willful, it's deliberate, and it's costly. So we must get this right, brother. We must get this right, brothers and sisters, and fixing our eyes on the Lord. We cannot be negligent in this late hour. It says, be sober-minded, vigilant, in eager anticipation and return of the Lord. You're to be waiting, looking, watching, dressed, ready for the bridegroom to repair. You're to be have your oil, your wicks trimmed so that your light burns brightly, the extra stores of oil, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, so that you can endure even into the third and the fourth watch of the night, waiting for your Savior to return. You're to be adequately prepared, properly prepared physically, mentally, and emotionally to endure to the end, because those who endure to the end will receive the crown of life.
Hallelujah. Whew. Folks, that's difficult words spoken right there.
Good stuff. Outstanding. Man, I love that. Love that. Jumping ahead, skipping that other speaker. Nothing against him. I want to hear Jamie.
To the complacent. Woe to the complacent. Woe to you who feel secure in Samaria, you most notable, or who feel secure in Zion, you most notable men of the foremost nation who lounge on your couches. We're talked about the complacency of fools destroys them, right? Proverbs 1 or 2, I don't know, somewhere in there. You can read it all, and that way you can get the full context. But complacency is a big deal, and again, it goes back to that cowardice. And what's at the root of complacency? A love of self. So we have been foretold that we will be lovers of self, we will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It is highly uncomfortable, that's not even a word, it should be, that's a cool word. It's highly uncomfortable to be prudent. It's uncomfortable to look like a fool to your family members and your friends. It's uncomfortable, and the pride of your flesh wells up because you don't want to look foolish to your other members in your congregation when you say, brothers and sisters, in prudence, let us prepare our hearts for the day of the Lord. Let us throw off any sin that so easily hinders and entangles us. Let us come out from among these Babylonian systems. Let us throw off all restraint and all this double-mindedness and seek the Lord. Let us in prudence practically prepare and be obedient to the words of Christ Jesus when he told his disciples about the signs of the times and about his second coming. He said, I've told you about these things ahead of time. Why? So that you will not be caught unaware. I've given you, how about ladies and gents, brothers and sisters, why don't we heed the command of Jesus Christ when he says, pray that you would escape all these things. And how about we grow in anointing of our God so that we might be strong through the Lord and go forth and do exploits, daring feats of valors to the glory of our God, to the saving of souls, and to the increase of our joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Like, this is what it's all centered on. So this idea of prudence is central to our Christian calling election. The my righteous ones will live by faith, and without faith it's impossible to please me. We prepare in prudence, spiritually and physically and emotionally, out from faith, not from fear. If you're preparing out of fear, you're wrong. We prepare out of prudence because our Lord has said, I've told you about these things ahead of time. A prudent man foresees danger coming and plans accordingly. I've said to have an extra store of oil, like have extra stores and be prepared, be waiting, looking, watching. It's going to be a long night. It's going to be a difficult night, but I'm coming. You must be prepared, vigilant, watchful, on guard, eager anticipation, longingly looking forward for me. And there's work to be done. And if you're running around unhinged because you can't provide for your own family because you didn't want to look foolish to the other members of your congregation, well, the Lord is in opposition to you because the Lord opposes the proud, but he gives favor to the humble. And you, if you have nothing to offer your lost and dying neighbors in a way that you could hold out the gospel of truth that would cut off the curse of sin and death from them from everlasting to everlasting because you didn't want to look foolish, well, woe to you. If you sit in complacency and you say, I don't want to do these things again because of the pride of my flesh, I don't want to look foolish, woe to you. We come forward by faith with what little we have, even with our little faith, with our little provisions, with things that we've moved out in prudence to do, and we say, Lord, this is all I have. God bless it. Lord, multiply it. Lord, use it to feed 5,000 people today. I got these couple fish and I got these couple loaves, but I'm bringing it to you, Lord. Do what only you can do. God, I by faith, I foresaw the danger coming and I planned accordingly, God, not to save my own flesh, but that I might be able to hold out the word of truth and shine in this crooked and perverse generation like never before. God, amen. Be glorified through these things. Lord, use these things. I'm your servant. I'm a tool in your hand. Have me do whatever you would have me do. And that's something that the church needs to get focused on real quick. It's coming fast, ladies and gents. Brother Frank already touched on it. I won't go into all the details, global supply chain collapse and the international global food scarcity and the consolidation of power and control and where all this is going. But I'm telling you, it's right at the door. And again, we don't prepare out from fear. God's perfect love casts out all fear. Where you fear, you've not been perfected by his love. We prepare because we just want to be obedient to the Lord. We want to be tender for his heart for people. We want to be like Joseph, who sees and knows and understands and goes, wow, man, there's some lean times coming. So out from obedience and prudence, I'm going to be a good administrator of the resources that the Lord's put me in charge of so that we can actually preserve the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everybody get that about Joseph? It wasn't about Egypt. God used Joseph's prudence to preserve the bloodline, to bring his brothers and Jacob into the land of Egypt, to provide for them, to preserve the bloodline that was promised to lead to the savior of all humanity and the crushing of Satan under his heel, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the story of Joseph is all about. And again, it's that prudence and that spirit and that tenderness for the Lord and that surrendering of the whole tithe of our lives in the storehouse of God that made the way for that to happen. It's faith in action. You say you have faith. Well, good. Even the demons believe in God, and at least they shudder. But faith without actions, faith without deeds is dead. We must put our faith into action and prepare to be the church to the church. Prepare to be the body to the body and prepare to hold out the word of truth in the lost and dying world. It's time to prepare now. Like, you know, brother, from the Marine Corps, you always train for the fight you're not yet in. We're absolutely always training for the fight we're not yet in, because when it's beaten down your door, it's too late. Whatever you have stored up in you is all you're going to have to carry you through to the end of that, through the end of that fight. So that applies spiritually, that applies emotionally, and that applies physically. We train to walk by faith now. We train to trust in the Lord now. We train to intercede and pray now. We train to surrender that our hope is not in our own strength and a horse is a vain deliverance a vain hope for deliverance. Sorry, I'm starting all over the place. And I don't trust in the size of my army, but I trust in the name of the Lord my God. I fear him. My hope is in his unfailing love. He delivers me from death. He keeps me alive in famine. This is what we start training for now.
You're so right.
Outstanding. Outstanding. I'm going to jump ahead. I'm going to find some more Jamie talking. Because I appreciate Jamie. Jamie Walden. J-A-M-I-E. Walden. W-A-L-D-E-N. You can find him on YouTube.
God's hand of salvation.
Oh, there's no such thing. There's no such thing. The sufficiency of Christ is so all-surpassing that there's absolutely nothing, literally nothing, it says in all of creation. So what's that encompass, all of creation? Let's see, angels and demons and light and darkness and disobedience and obedience and the things of the flesh and the things of the world and the things that create it. Literally nothing in all of creation can separate you from the love of God that has been past tense. It's so particular, has been past tense shown to you in Christ Jesus. Nothing. While you were his enemy, while you were reprobate, when you were at your worst, when he saw you on top of that woman that was not your wife, when he saw you blaspheming him in the gutters, when he saw you rejecting the spirit of truth and running after your flesh, he already saw you in that moment. And maybe you haven't had your worst yet. He's already seen you in that moment too. And he looked on you with so much love. He so loved the world that he gave his only son. While you were his enemy, how much more so is he going to be near to you now that he calls you friend? There is nothing that God has withheld from you. Nothing. While you were his enemy at your worst, there's nothing he's going to withhold from you now. And that's why I love the doxology in Jude. I absolutely love it because it's so simple. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before the Father blameless and with great joy. To our only God, our Savior, Lord and Jesus, be all power and glory and honor and dominion both now and forevermore. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you before the Father blameless and with great joy. This is the testimony of Christ in you. This is the testimony of Christ over you. This is the testimony of the sufficiency of the blood of the Lamb that we talked about. They overcame all y'all, all the powers of darkness, all that the Antichrist, all that the machinations of the global elite want to throw at us. We overcome it by the blood of the Lamb because it's that blood that is our righteousness. It's that blood that is our salvation. It's that blood that is our shield of faithfulness to extinguish the fiery arrows of the enemy. It is the blood of that Lamb that is the truth that we now walk in. It is the blood of the Lamb that is now the combat boots on my feet, the gospel of peace, where once I was an enemy, and now God says, I'm at peace with you, son. I no longer call you a child of wrath. I call you a child of glory. You're no longer heirs of wrath and sons of disobedience. You're a son of the Most High. Here's the ring on your finger, a signet ring. Here's the cloak on your back. Come, eat, and sup with me. Everything that belongs to my son belongs to you. Your inheritance is kept in heaven for you, spotless, unspoiled, unfading. And here's the good promise in 1 Peter 1, is that God's going to get you home to it by his power. Praise be to God. It has nothing to do with your power to get there. By his power, he's going to get you there. So there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. And all the shame and all the reproach and all the condemnation and all the carnal leanings and all the double-mindedness and all the weakness and failings of our flesh, he saw it all and he looked on you with doting eyes. And he said, here, I will become sin itself. Amen. So that you will become my righteousness. I will become your sin so that not one spot or blemish remains on you, and you shall become my righteousness. Oh my goodness, what good news. And so when he says, if you confess your sins, that he's faithful and just and heals you and cleanses you from all unrighteousness. You're clean. You are in white raiment. You are spotless and blameless, positioned before the Lord. Listen, we know what we are every day. Brother Frank and I know what we are every day. We are weak and weary sinners, treading water like everybody else, just hoping we don't grieve the Lord again and again and again each day. But positionally before the Lord Most High, I also know what I am. I know that I am blameless, spotless, and holy. I don't know how it works. I just praise God because I have nothing to bring to the table other than my carnality. And yet I know Christ in me. See, this is the word of our testimony. That is the blood of the Lamb. And that's why we don't love our life so much as we're afraid to lose it. It's hidden in Christ. I'm good to go, ladies and gents. And that is what overcomes all this. And that is what fills us with the love of God that casts out all fear, even fear of falling short, even fear of condemnation, fear from within, fear without. All enemies, foreign and domestic, have no bearing on me because I know my God. And I know his son, Jesus Christ. So, brother, yeah, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. But it's all about that if you confess, humble yourself enough, be willing to humble yourself enough in the presence of the Lord to say, Lord, I can't do it. Lord, I need you. Lord, my righteousness and all my acts are not sufficient. God, I can't earn it. I can't work it. I can't strive it. Lord, I fail. I'm double-minded. I'm all over the place. I keep returning to my vomit, God. But Lord, I know that your blood was sufficient to cover that. So I'm just confessing it to you, God. Take it from me. I want no part of it, God. Fill me with your righteousness. Stand me back on my feet, God. Make me fit for battle because your power in me, I know that you'll equip me to go forth and do daring feats of valor to glorify your name. Lord, I've spent enough time doing what the pagans did. I've spent enough time in the darkness, Lord. I want to glorify you and proclaim your excellencies in the land of the living. And guess what? He is faithful and just to satisfy the desires of your heart. He Amen. Will do it.
Amen. Thank you so much for that.
Good stuff. Jump ahead a little more, Jamie here.
Alternate plan for those who call upon his name.
Amen. Amen. And I always think of the simplicity of the words, and hope will not disappoint. I think about that all the time. We are not going to be disappointed. Though we may have suffered for it, we may need to suffer for a little while, though these things have come upon you to test you, though there's pain in the offering, they are light and momentary afflictions compared to the all-suppressing knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus and being unified with him. And I know. And there's nothing that could change the fact that I know that my hope will not disappoint. And I know that one day soon, my faith will become sight and my hope will come to fruition. And the only thing that's left is the love of the Lord and to love one another in full in his presence from everlasting to everlasting. And so it's for the joy set before me that we endure all these things, even the battle of our flesh and spirit. For the joy set before us, we engage in the fight. We fight the good fight. We run the race well. We withhold nothing because he withheld nothing. We're unrestrained because he was unrestrained. We're prodigal towards him because he was prodigal towards us. And we fight this good fight knowing that it is not in vain. And I can't wait, brother. I can't wait. And I know I'm a fool and I don't have a clue what's going to be required of us. I know I'm a fool and I don't have a clue what the depth of true suffering is. I've been in combat zones. I've been a street cop. I've been a street medic. But I know that I have no clue what suffering may be required of me, but I do know my God. And that's sufficient for me this Amen. Day and every day until he calls me home or he returns.
Amen. Thank you so much, folks. I'm just
good stuff. Walk in faith. Honor Almighty God. Turn from your sin. Live holy. Good advice. Now I'm clicking on this silly computer. There we go.
As possible.
There we go. Okay. Still clicking on my silly computer. You know, I know there's a sports commentator named Jack Buck. I think he was a commentator for the Cardinals, maybe. Cardinals or the Dodgers, maybe. He said that he didn't want to be anywhere near Las Vegas tonight. He had this Jack Buck. He said he had a bad feeling about what could happen in Vegas tonight. I have no idea. I've been doing this radio show, so I have no idea what's brewing in Vegas at the Super Bowl this fine day. If something happens, I'm sure we'll hear about it. Yeah. Here's some more, Jamie.
Well, because the amount of people currently cannot be managed. Enter wow. The Thing and World War III.
We've got what? We got 6-7 billion people on the earth right now?
I think it's upwards of 8.4. 8.4 to 8.7. Yeah.
There's 7 babies. Oh, boy. Well, I thought we were going to talk about firefighting.
you did, bro. You just got fire hosed.
Yeah, no joke. I got soaked in more soaked. I almost drowned.
There you
go. Wow, Jamie. Okay, so World War III, asteroid debris, peppered like shotgun blasts, and it's like all PSYOP. Our government's involved in it. It's questionable whether there's going to be an election. The lower end people are like, you know, the Joint Chiefs of Staff that are dealing with this whole situation, and World War III is imminent.
Yeah.
Did I miss anything? I just summarized everything you just said. You just did an information download on us, man.
Yeah, it's all you can work from the micro to the macro, and then you can work backwards, and you see how it's all connected. So take, for instance, the PCR, I don't know if we can say that. The thing that you swab in your mouth, okay, in case you need to cut that out. The thing that you swab in your mouth, genealogy.com, 23andMe, all these genetic data banks, bought by China. Why?
Oh my gosh.
They're creating a massive, massive genetic bank system so that in the rebuilding process, they can be like God and make their determinations through transhumanism, CRISPR-Cas9 technology, and else and other things to be able to manage what comes next. Again, is happening in a vacuum. Nothing's happening in a vacuum.
Well, I hope that I can get another interview with you because I'm sure it's like more information. Plus, Tucker steals you from me or something. I mean, that's very possible. But
now guys like that be like, oh, that's, you can't corroborate that. You can't corroborate that. It's like, oh yeah, I can. If you want to take the time and for the next 16 years, dig into these things, you can corroborate it too, because it's all open source. I haven't said anything or shared anything that there hasn't been a published paper on from that higher echelon of understanding. It's open source. It again, nothing's hidden, nothing's conspiratorial, nothing's hyperbolic or sensational. It just is. And they don't care because they don't care if I can't remember what it was. I think there's a breaking point. It's like 6% of the population. Once 6% of the population is awake, they lose the narrative. Right now, they say globally, even different populist uprisings that we see, there's only about 2-3% of the population that's awake. They don't care. They don't care. You mean it means nothing. That's why I can talk about this so openly. They don't care because they know nobody's really listening.
Right.
And even if you, let's say you have a bigger. Right. Yeah. Let's say you have a bigger platform like Tucker or like Alex Jones or different guys in alternative media, and you have these bigger platforms of bigger influence. What people don't understand is that is a drop in the bucket of the global population. They don't care. And actually, they'll just dismiss you with neuro-linguistic phrases like conspiracy theorists.
Right.
By the way, that came out from the OSS, which later became the CIA. During the JFK assassination, that came out of a think tank to throw out this neuro-linguistic phrase so that nobody wants to look stupid or foolish to their friends. They'll never question the official narrative. And if you do, you say they're a conspiracy theorist. So again, this has been going on for a very long time, very long time.
Yeah. And part of what's driven me is I believe God is just driving me to want to do this, to get the information out. I've got a very strange drive that I just feel like I'm being obedient to God to do this. I mean, this is what I'm supposed to do. And I appreciate you for just, you know, sharing what you know. And, you know, like I say to all my viewers, you know, dive in. He says it's all open source. Look into it. Don't just either dismiss it or just believe it. Look into it yourself. He's a very credible source, as you can see and hear, especially with his experience. And it's life or death here to find out what's going on. It's not like, oh yeah, well, you know, it's always been this way. No, obviously it hasn't always been this way. So, Jamie, you know, we got to do a part two on this. I want to continue with another interview.
Yeah,
and this might be part three by now. I don't know what I'm headed. I don't know.
Well, and you know, and I hate to leave people without hope.
Oh, do it. Give us hope, please.
Yeah, because the hope is in the true and better Savior, Jesus Christ, the true and better warrior, Jesus Christ. That's the hope. Like, the hope is that none of this is out of order. Nothing is catching him by surprise. There's no plan B going on here. All this has been foreknown and foretold. It's detailed by country, by nation state, by activity, all throughout the scripture. It everything that we just talked about is in the word.
Yes,
every
it is.
Detail of it, yep. Including hiding themselves in the ground and setting themselves among the stars. In Obadiah, it says that. In Revelation, it says the great men, the mighty men, the generals of the earth will hide themselves inside the earth from the great and terrible day of the Lord. Yep. Obadiah says that they will, though they set themselves their nest among the stars, I'll bring them down low for judgment. He talks about the global hyperinflation and then global war, World War III. These are the horses, the quote unquote horses of the apocalypse, global famine and pestilence, consolidation of all things economically through counterfeit omniscience and counterfeit omnipresence through technology. All of this is in the word. I just told you, because I try to make distinctions so people don't go, oh, you know, that's just some kooky, end times believing Christian dude. I told you from their perspective what they're saying. Now I could tell you all day long that the Bible says the exact same thing to the T, verbatim, including a third of the world's population being killed. Including a third of the population being reduced, which, by the way, read their white papers. They say we need to reduce the population by 2 to 2.5 million. That's one third of the global population. They say it because the Lord already knew they were going to say it. And it's all in the words. So the hope is that in Christ, there's no fear. I have no fear. I mean, there's always natural physiological responses, right? Wonderings, there's some consternations and perplexities that come with knowing this kind of information, that we're human, we have physiological emotional responses, but there's also a steadfastness and a quiet confidence in my spirit. I know my God, and I know that death has no say over me because my life is hidden in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Like, I know the blood of the Lamb. I'll tell you my testimony and the word of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and I don't love my life so much as I'm afraid to lose it, because ain't nobody can take it. Nobody can take it from me. It's
Amen,
hidden in Christ Jesus. So when I'm operating out from that perspective, that's why I can smile. I can enjoy my kids. I live in the Rocky Mountains. We go snowboarding. We go snowmobiling. We do things still. I'm active. I'm productive. I love. I laugh. I do things. I enjoy. I take picnics because, yes, all this is true. But this is true at the exact same time. And actually, that really doesn't have a lot of weight to me compared to eternity with my King. And so I'm good to go. And you listeners must know that you can be good to go too, with a quiet, secure confidence and a peace that surpasses all understanding in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. You can, if you want it. Or you can mock him and scoff him, reject him, revile him, and shake your fist at him and say all kinds of things about the Lord, and you get
have a good peace. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's iPhone, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Interrupt your normally scheduled programming to bring you this important broadcasting announcement.
Now is the time to explore your greatest potential, embracing truth, health, and wellness while discarding the system and exposing its corruption. Experience true freedom